You're listening to a podcast by the VIN News Service, an independent, advertising-free source for veterinary news. My name is Dr. Wendy Smith-Wilson. Today you'll hear journalist Jennifer Fiala interview Dr. Terry Ann Oursler, a veterinarian and VIN member since 1993. Terry wrote about her experiences as a COVID-19 vaccinator in two commentaries published earlier this year by VIN News and now offers greater insight about her experience.
I'm Jennifer Fiala, writer for the VIN News Service, and we are here with Dr. Terry Ann Oursler, a veterinarian in Northern Nevada, who's authored commentaries for us about her experience working in a vaccine pod. Terry tells me that POD stands for Point of Distribution. And since January, she's vaccinated thousands of people as part of the Medical Reserve Corps, a national network of medical volunteers organized under the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Welcome, Terry, and thank you for sharing your experience.
Thank you, Jennifer, for having me.
Will you first tell us how you came to be a veterinarian and what your career was like after graduating from Colorado State University in 1993?
Well, like most of my field, I knew I wanted to become a veterinarian at a very young age. Unfortunately, I also knew that the sight of blood and needles made me really sick to my stomach. So I actually did not go to vet school until 8 years after I graduated with my bachelor's in mathematics. After I graduated, I moved to Northern Wyoming with my husband and son, and I worked in a solo small animal practice until 2012.
What drew you to join the Medical Reserve Corps and start vaccinating people against COVID-19?
Back in December, I read the VIN News Service story about veterinarians being invited to vaccinate people for COVID-19 in Manitoba, Canada. Several days later, I was standing in a pharmacy and was watching all the pharmacists running around and filling prescriptions. And I thought, how in the world are they ever going to be able to have time to vaccinate people in addition to everything else? And then from there, it sort of became thinking about the veterinarian's oath that I took when I graduated that said I was going to protect human health, public health.
In your first piece in January, you wrote about considering what might happen if you contract the virus by volunteering. Did you have conversations with family and friends about the what-if scenarios, and did they encourage you, or were they worried for your safety?
Jennifer, I wrestled with this idea for several nights before deciding I wanted to see how and where I could help. Thankfully, my husband was good with this because I just announced my intention. I didn't even ask for his input. And looking back on it, that wasn't really very nice of me. For whatever reason, I never was particularly worried about getting sick since we were outdoors and masked. I did learn this past weekend that my kids were worried about me, but they were kind enough not to tell me or try to dissuade me.
So early on, when those vaccines were rationed, were your family members allowed to jump ahead of the line?
In short, no. I was lucky and got vaccinated at the end of my first shift since there were doses left over from the day's appointments. Had there not been any doses left over, I would not have gotten vaccinated until a shift when there were doses left over. They did not open vials of vaccines for volunteers. They protected that precious liquid like it was Fort Knox gold. My husband did not get to jump the line. He had to wait until frontline workers, of which the group he was a part of, was eligible. And so he was not vaccinated until mid-March. The one benefit I did get was being able to get information about how and where to make appointments, because that was really difficult at the beginning.
I remember that. You're correct. That was very, very difficult. You've written about using humor to put your patients at ease. Is that a technique you developed while in practice dealing with anxious pet owners?
I have always been a person who's been fast with the humorous quip. It's not something I've specifically developed in myself, but I have always used it.
So you wrote in one of your commentaries about telling lame jokes to a crying young woman to make her laugh. I was hoping you might share some of those with us.
Certainly. I have a whole bunch of lame jokes. Every appointment was started with verifying the name and date of birth on the vaccine for the person getting vaccinated. And from there, I would start with, so you know, the unique part of your day is you are being vaccinated by a veterinarian. When I am done, I get to scratch you behind the ears and tell you how good you are. Sometimes I would point to the vaccine card that they had just filled out and say, well, look at that. You know who you are today. The seniors especially would laugh at this. Occasionally, I would tell people that I had not been bitten that day, that everyone was coming in muzzled as I pointed to the mask. Most importantly, a lot of them had something funny to say back to me. I had seniors especially who would say, well, I only know who I am today. Tomorrow is another story. I always had to agree with them. That could be the same for me. I had one young man who said, I do not care if I get vaccinated by a vet, as long as I'm not also getting neutered. That one really made me laugh. Quite a few people would ask if they were also going to get a treat or their tummy rubbed. And I would usually segue this and go, well, only if you thump your leg in appreciation will I rub your belly. Some would bark or meow at me. One man actually mooed, and it was so good, I actually looked around for a cow. He did it a second time to prove that it was him. And the funniest comeback was from a man who came back for his second dose and told the nurse, well, I had no problems with the first dose. I was vaccinated by a veterinarian, but I only barked for a week. Everybody laughed about that one.
So Nevada recently reported that there was a dramatic drop in demand for testing and a consistent and steady decline in positivity rates. So as of June 1st, the state health department reported about 2.3 million doses of vaccine had been administered. What does it feel like to know you've contributed to this trend?
It has been great to know I was part of a team that was part of the solution. It's very gratifying work. And it's amazing to see so many people come out to donate their time and energy in an effort to end this pandemic.
How many people do you estimate you vaccinated in a day?
You know, I never did count, but at the height of our busy season, we had 2,800 appointments per day. And you spread that across 18 vaccinators, so there's about an average of 155 per day. Certainly, there were days that we had fewer appointments. So I'm guessing average for the last 4 months, 5 months was 50 to 75 per day.
Nearly 6 months since the vaccine rollout, your site is now slowing down. How has the scene around vaccinations changed since you began volunteering?
When we first started vaccinating, all of the patients were in the 75 and over group. They were tired of being home and isolated. They were eager to be vaccinated and appointments were limited. Those early on patients were grateful to be vaccinated. And it was not unusual to have them bring us treats when they came through the pod. There were donuts, candy, Starbucks cards, and thank you cards. I will tell you, wearing a mask really cuts down on the ability to partake of all of those treats. Occasionally, there were tears of joy. There was some trepidation, but not much. These were the people that were eager to be protected. As time wore on, there was more vaccine hesitancy. There were more people afraid of the vaccine. There were more people being vaccinated at the request of employers and at request of family members. Some of them were being vaccinated in spite of their family's resistance. It has become a lot more common for a woman in the car to be vaccinated while her male counterpart sat and glowered at me while not wearing a mask. And sadly, lately, there's been a lot more people coming in without their masks on. I do always ask them to please put them on. I try to make it a joke, saying, yeah, I know, it's easy to forget, but it is a little frustrating.
I understand. For those who have not been vaccinated and are hesitant, take me through the process. What's it like to get a vaccine?
So now that we no longer have to make an appointment, you can walk up to a vaccine pod and request a vaccination, although they do prefer that you make an appointment. There is paperwork to fill out, just like always. And if you make the appointment, you get to fill it out ahead of time. You're asked questions about other vaccinations you've received recently, whether or not you are sick, whether or not you had COVID, et cetera. All of this information gets entered into the computer and a vaccine card is handwritten by the assistant. This card is then handed to the vaccinator with the paperwork. I would take this card and the vaccine out to the car. And I will tell you, I learned more about car make and models than I ever have in my entire life, because that's how the assistants would help get us to the right car. And this worked pretty good, except this is the land of white Subarus. And I will tell you, it was frequent to have, or common to have, several of the same color car in a row. And that is why we always verified who we were vaccinating. You know, we asked for their name and date of birth to make sure we were getting the right person on the right car. I personally have administered the Pfizer, Moderna, and the Janssen vaccines. Pfizer and Moderna both require a booster, a second dose, administered either 3 to 4 weeks after the first dose. The Janssen vaccine is a one and done. The needles for all are tiny and the vaccines don't sting. The Janssen vaccine is a thicker liquid with a larger volume, so more people do flinch with that vaccine. So after you get vaccinated, you get directed to a 15-minute waiting area, or if you're somebody with a history of severe allergies, you'll go to a 30-minute waiting area. Because ours was a drive-up pod, you got to just sit in your car in this waiting area. For some people that are getting to be vaccinated indoors, they have seating areas where you are seated and waiting for that.
Why is getting a vaccine so important?
Well, the more people who remain unvaccinated, the more unvaccinated people get infected. And we know a significant portion of infected people are asymptomatic and unknowingly spreading the disease. Per an article that I read in the Washington Post a couple weeks ago, the infection rate in the unvaccinated is almost as high as it was back before we started doing any vaccinations. That's a scary number. So the more people who get infected increases the chance the virus will continue to mutate. The more mutations the virus makes, the greater the chance it will mutate into a virus our vaccines won't protect against. The more mutations that escape our vaccines, the more people will die, the greater the chance we'll have to go back to having restrictions like 50% indoor dining, et cetera. In addition, there are a lot of people who cannot be vaccinated, whether they've got allergies or health conditions. And there are people who won't get a full protective response to the vaccine due to some underlying health conditions. By being vaccinated, and therefore not at risk of spreading disease, you are helping to protect those around you. It might be your grandmother that Fred from down the street is unknowingly protecting. So I would ask everybody, please do your part and get vaccinated so that we can end this pandemic and get back to normal.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Terry. We really do appreciate all you've done, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jennifer, for your time and for bringing up such an important subject.
Take care.
You too.
You've been listening to a podcast by the VIN News Service, a division of the Veterinary Information Network, the world's leading online veterinary community. The story was reported by Jennifer Fiala. Music was composed by Benjamin Olson. This recording is copyright VIN 2021.